Welcome to CWC Dive Deep, where we take a deeper look into this past Sunday's message, discussing how we can actively pursue God and grow in our faith. I'm your host, Caleb Swartz, the Spiritual Formation Director at CWC with Pastor Arley. Welcome, Pastor Arley.
Thank you, Caleb. It's good to be here.
So glad to have you again this week.
Thank you.
And this past Sunday, you were telling us all about just sharing our faith and equipping us for that in our series, Growing 101. As you were preparing for this past week's message, what really spoke to you? What stood out to you?
I really feel that it's probably one of my favorite topics. I feel that if I can help people have a better handle on how to share their faith and to feel passionate about sharing their faith, I feel like that's a major victory if I can be able to help them to be able to get to that point. So I think in my own thoughts, as I was preparing, just really wanting to kindle that kind of a heart in believers that would say, I need to do this. It needs to be more part of my life. Because I just think we all get, I think spiritually lazy. I think that's probably one of the big things that I kind of said and what keeps us from doing it. I think we get kind of content with where we are. And if we do, we kind of lose sight of a big part of our mission. Like, it's who we are as believers, to reach our world for Christ, to help make a difference in the lives of those that we come in contact with. And if we're not careful, we just can slip into a thing of being just nice people.
Yeah, you had brought up the point, which I really appreciated. We lose our compassion for people. Our hearts aren't broken for people.
Right.
There's not a pain that happens inside of us when we look at people. And that happens. That happens to even the most faithful followers. I really believe
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
So, and again, whether it's, I think, a means of just getting complacent or spiritual laziness or being disconnected, how can people build that compassion back into their life? What are some things that we can do? Or maybe even what can we do to prevent it from happening? So, you know, both proactive and then reactive.
I think a big part of it is it's kind of building a culture in those that we come in contact with that we would share that same kind of passion.
And you're talking for other believers.
Yeah, with other believers and the circles or the groups that we're kind of a part of. If we could like make it more standard kind of questions, have you had an opportunity to share your faith with anyone lately? If we could kind of make it part of our conversation, or, hey, I had this great opportunity of sharing with a guy I work with or whatever. I think if we had more of that kind of conversation, it would trigger it more in our minds and bring it more to the forefront. Because, as I said, I think a lot of Christians work on being like devoted followers and trying to live out the life of Christ so other people see Christ in us. But a lot of times, I think that they could just turn into being nice people and not passionate people for the lost.
So as we're spending time with other Christians, trying to get that excitement built about sharing our faith, I think there's almost a hesitancy for some people to share how they've been telling other people about the gospel, about their sharing their testimony. It's almost like, I don't want to brag about how God's been working through me, or I don't want to brag about how I've been going out and sharing with other people. And I wonder if that just goes back to, you know, a very Puritan mentality or... So what are your thoughts on that? I mean, it's this idea that I don't want to brag about what I'm doing for God, but at the same time, we still need to be sharing what we're doing to encourage others.
I hear what you're saying, but I guess I don't think it's about us. I think it's about God.
Go further. I want you to give permission for people to tell other people about what they're doing.
I think if one thinks I'm afraid to tell other people because I'm afraid I'm going to appear like bragging, maybe they ought to think it through themselves a little better to realize it's God who gives us the opportunities. It's God who opens the doors. It's God who gives us the words to speak. It's God who does. And so I'm just along for the ride. And so But what I need to do is just like alert myself to be cautious of opportunities mm-hmm. that are there and how God would like to use them. And that's the huge part that is, you know, a part of our lives that really makes the difference. I feel sometimes because I'm in a kind of a cloistered environment.
The holy huddle, as I like to call it. I got that term from somewhere else, but yeah.
I kind of feel sometimes sad that I don't get as many opportunities as I like and as I've had at times past. And so I think if we're kind of in our kind of context, you know, that you're working in a Christian context and you're basically around believers all the time, it's a little bit harder. And so you have to consciously step out to make that happen. But, you know, I can remember when I was in Rotary and they'd have those pancake breakfasts and I would be cooking or whatever. And I would think, oh, it's such a good day to be with the pagans all day. because I just felt like, wow, I could like, everybody I'm seeing like needs Jesus. And so I just need to be thinking about this a whole lot more. And I think it was more natural for me to think in that context. And sometimes if we're just around our Christian friends all the time, we kind of lose that edge and we're not really thinking about how can I be able to share this? So I think it is important for each of us to try to build in those opportunities to be around those who are not followers or believers, and then to know how will I do that and how will I continue to increase that.
Yeah. Two thoughts. First of all, that is answering the question of the proactive means of keeping compassion for people is spending time. I mean, for me, spending time in the gym, I try to go to a gym in the community so that I can see people that I don't see normally and just have that kind of, you know, encounter with people on a regular basis to know where they're at, try and build some gentle relationships, that kind of thing. But yeah, you know, going to community events and, you know, especially spending time in just community environments that we can run into people that we don't normally see.
Sure.
And then the second thought that I wanted to kind of go back to is most of my best catchphrases or strategies or ideas for sharing my faith have come from other people sharing their experiences with sharing their faith. Back to the idea of it's good to talk about it with other believers.
Absolutely.
'Cause I'm not all that creative, believe it or not. And, and you know, why recreate the wheel when there's some really great methods, strategies, ideas out there?
There are. And I think probably, I mean, there are a lot of different ways. There's like cold kind of evangelism, they call it, you know, when you would speak to someone who you hardly know, and you haven't really built a relationship with, but somehow the conversation just happens. I kind of talked about that a little bit on Sunday with my grandmother. But there's also friendship evangelism. And, you know, I think that, like, I don't mean to say you make a friend just for the purpose of that. I mean, you make a friend because that's what friends do. But in that process, you've built a relationship. So you've earned a right to be able to speak into their lives because you care about them. And so those are good opportunities that are there. And then I think the biggest thing is the bridge between the secular and the spiritual. And I think if you know how to have bridge builders of conversation that's going to go from talking about the secular into the spiritual. I mean, you can talk about, I don't know, if you're a sports person, you can talk about anybody with sports, like, you know, anybody in the, like, strangers or whatever. You can talk about the weather. There's certain public information that you can kind of always talk about. But when you go into the spiritual, you've kind of bridged into a personal context. And so it's interesting. And I think you have to be really intuitive. I think you have to be perceptive as far as understanding where people are, their feelings, and what's apart, and then to talk about it, because our present culture is actually very open to spiritual conversations. Now, they're not always open to Jesus, but they're open to spiritual conversations, and so they would be willing to talk about things that are spiritual. mm-hmm. and feeling like there's this power around us and this energy force. Mm-hmm. And so like trying to understand the person, where they're open, and then how to move that to that next level. I think those are all parts of the process.
Right, especially generationally, it's going to be different as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, just huge differences generationally. Mm-hmm. As we kind of talk about our secular culture, there's two terms that are out there that I'd like you just to reflect on a little bit. One being non-Christian and the other being post-Christian. Mm. And just real quick, the difference between the two and where we see it generationally.
Well, you know, non-Christian is, you know, it's pretty self-explanatory. I think that's just, you know, they're not there yet. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, you know, people call them pre-Christians, you know.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, people are kind of in the journey, but they're not there yet. So you kind of had that post-Christian, you know, it's looking back. We're moving beyond. And I think that's a scary place to be. Mm. And it's more of what our culture pretty much is, you know, because we're kind of moving past that into more of a secularization of everything.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that's a hard place, you know, for us to really, really share the gospel. So that's not a real fertile field.
Gotcha.
Do you know what I'm saying? And
yeah.
So I think that, but the basic thing is that we all have needs.
Mm-hmm.
And our needs are like, we're not that different. Mm-hmm. I don't care who we are. Like, there's certain basic needs that all of us have. We all get lonely. We all want to know that we're valuable or valued. We want to know that somebody cares. There's just weird, like, little kind of things that, like, they're not that different than anyone else. Everybody has that. They want to know they can have purpose in life. They want to feel like what they're doing is significant. It matters. Like all those things are, everybody has those. Doesn't matter. So when you get into the concept of really like who Jesus is and what he does for us, all of those things are a part of it. And so that bridge into finding that person of Christ who can meet those needs in our lives, that's just an important thing. But you've got to be willing to go past the secular conversation into the spiritual.
Exactly, yeah. And with the non-Christian, post-Christian, again, I think a lot of the Christian community would use that as an excuse not to be intentional about sharing with post-Christians because they view them as hardened or, you know, closed off. But like you said, they're actually very open to spiritual conversation.
Right.
But if you want to take it deeper and talk about that purpose for life, or that they're making an impact. I mean, millennials are the generation that wants to see their work make an impact.
Sure.
So they have this mindset that's very different from previous generations, but they do want to talk about this. They just don't want it pushed on them. And I think there's a huge importance of establishing some kind of relationship with post-Christian individuals before you really get to that conversation.
And I think people, because they want to make a difference, they want their lives to be significant, they need to understand what that looks like.
Right.
And you start talking about that. And realistically, if we're really serious about our faith journey, it certainly brings significance, because care of our environment and helping people to be able to make a difference and caring for people and the social kinds of things that we really are a part of, they appeal to everybody.
Right.
You know, but then helping people get past just being nice people and really be saved people, that is the challenge. But I think if they see that in you, it starts to create that hunger and thirst in them to say, I want something like that. I want to know that. So, you know, that's a big part of the journey that needs to be shared.
Yeah. Well, do you want to leave listeners with a challenge for this week? Something beyond what you presented this weekend?
You know, I think that I've taken a lot of witnessing courses because I wanted to get really good at it. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to be able to share my faith with people. And I guess what I would like to encourage you find those in your world. Keep alert and attuned to those who need Christ, that you might be that influencer, that person. And then little by little, give opportunities to let them know that your faith journey and what that's like. And then if people are interested, they'll start connecting on those topics and on those buttons that you're hitting. And then don't be afraid to go further. Like, I can remember asking one man, what is it that holds you back from coming to faith in Christ? And I can remember him looking at me and he said, well, actually, nothing. And I said, well, wouldn't you like to do that? And, you know, I got to lead him to Christ, and it was so, but he just never processed through that, never did that kind of journey thought. So I guess what I'm saying is be alert to those, pray for opportunities, be alert for those, and don't be afraid to just move to the next level, because God may use that engineering process to bring them to faith.
Hmm. Excellent. And just to sum up a couple things that I heard from you just now was, this is a skill that you develop.
Yeah, I believe it's a gift, but I also believe it's a, mm-hmm. like it's a, like a muscle. You need to work it.
Yep. And to just spend time with people mm-hmm. being a key part of this, mm-hmm. And then to be intentional, mm-hmm. just three components that are going to be really crucial to, sparking mm-hmm. your evangelism, your personal evangelism.
Yep.
Okay, great. Thank you so much, sure. Pastor Arley, for spending some time with us.
Thank you.
And thank you so much for joining us today on CWC Dive Deep. I hope you were challenged and encouraged to grow in your faith by what you've heard here today. Join us next Monday as we continue to discuss Growing 101. And to get the most out of this series, be sure to check out the resources on cwc.life to access sermon notes, weekly study material, and more great messages to dive into. Have a great week.